he was, you probably know the story, but when the Falcons traded away our future, all those picks for Julio, we made that offer to Cincinnati and they said, nope, we're taking AJ Green. So we packaged him up and gave him all to the Browns and they said, yep. So we took Julio.
Right. You never know how things are going to work out.
No, no, the draft is all these experts you see on TV and you're thinking it's all a crapshoot.
Right. I mean, I give you Akili Smith.
Yeah.
and David Klingler.
David Klingler, yep. I was just going to say, yep.
Klingler, like over 50 NCAA records. He got here and, you know, he couldn't sustain a 20-yard drive. And two more interceptions than TD. So, yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Eddie, you're blowing the curve on you not knowing a damn thing. This is unacceptable behavior on your part.
Right, this is the Bengals. That's it.
Don't worry, but I'll pick up the slack on that. Not knowing anything.
Look at you all in with your supporting the Postal Service.
Just found this the other day. It's my dad's. I stole it from him a while ago. But
that's great.
That's good. Yeah, that's a cool hat. Did he work for the post service?
Yeah, he was a letter carrier for like 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Super cool. It kind of gives us, I probably shouldn't wear it, huh? Can't see my face.
It looks good, dude.
All right, it's 59 minutes. Oh, right. Okay, I'm going to try to get launched live. Aaron, just tell me when we're on, and then we'll add Brian when he comes.
I'm looking for your fan page, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aaron, what's with all the keyboards?
Say what?
What's with all the keyboards?
I would be a music producer pretty soon after this Fireside Craps the Deuce drops.
I think we're on, Aaron. Can you confirm that?
I can't tell if... Are we? I can't tell if we're on, I don't see anything on Facebook.
It wouldn't be right if it wasn't one of us going with, are we live?
Are we on?
Page. Yeah, I don't see anything on Facebook. You think you got it all clicked right?
Hold on. It's tradition.
Unlike any other.
So we'll just talk for 45 minutes or so about what happened in the draft. Keep it light. If you guys have anything in particular you want to do, we can do that.
I want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons social media.
Da, da, da.
The Georgia Bulldog that's now on my team. And I do want to talk about the actual...
It's streaming now live on Facebook.
All right. Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the second ever Quick Snaps Roundtable.
Hey.
We're going to get... I think we're going to get Brian Miller in here. Let's see if that's in there. Allow him to talk, promote to panelists. Where are you, Brian Miller? Margaret Moynihan.
It's my wife's name. There we go. Sorry.
There he is. Brian Miller, everybody.
Google Chrome struggle.
All right, let's go around the horn here and introduce people. I'm Kostaki Economopoulos. We got Aaron Hodges, co-host of Quick Snaps, the podcast. Come check us out wherever you get your podcasts, all free. My brother Andreas in the Falcons hat there. Brian Miller just joining us. Doesn't know what time it is in Minneapolis. great comic, great writer, great contributor to Quick Snaps. And yes, an old friend of the podcast, Eddie Berry. We talked him into joining us. He was a little hesitant. We had some technical problems. And then as soon as he got here, he's been wowing us with NFL information. And now he's got a glass of wine. Life looks good down there, Eddie.
Yeah, well, this podcast needed the view of a biochemist. That's why I'm here.
That's what we've been lacking. So we're glad you're here. You're just south of Cincinnati, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, cool. I feel like I met you in Louisville. Is that possible?
I met you in Lexington.
Okay.
At Comedy Off Broadway, yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's what I meant to say. That's the club that I had in my mind's eye when I said Louisville. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's all Kentucky.
I love that club. That's both of those cities are underrated despite their, you know, I think because they're in Kentucky, people are like, rah. They're both great cities. Right?
Brian, I'm from Kentucky, so yeah, I can confirm.
That's right. You're from Paducah, right?
Yeah, Paducah indeed.
Yeah.
We got two Georgia boys here looking down our noses at Kentucky.
That's Ew.
All right. We want to do, we did a podcast with sort of the pre-draft jokes or whatever, and we want to do a round table here with the post-draft analysis and kind of hanging out and discussing a little bit. Let's do a couple of plugs off the top here. NowhereComedyClub.com, a show featuring me, the only show I have booked. I actually have a few shows booked, but not for a long time. It's the only one anywhere soon. It's NowhereComedyClub.com, May 7th, Thursday night, here coming up in about a week and a half. Tickets are only $10, and it's cool. It's actually like this. It sounds terrible for comedy, but I've done a short set and I've watched a longer one, and it weirdly kind of works. It's pretty good. They even have a virtual bouncer that can go through and mute people who have too much ambient noise, like a kid screaming or watching TV or whatever.
You suck.
So come check that out. Wednesday nights, right here, exactly where you're watching right now, the Facebook fan page. We're going to be doing Fantasy Throwback for the foreseeable future on Wednesdays. That's a fantasy game show that's fun and
great show. Check it out. Great show.
Andreas was a contestant. Aaron enjoys it. We'll get you guys on at some point to be guests. All right, on to the draft. The draft is, I just saw this on Facebook memories. I love a joke that I forgot about that makes me laugh. The draft has been held annually since 1936, like Bob Barker's penis. All right.
Can I ask you about that one?
Sure.
Are you saying that Bob Barker's penis only gets held once a year?
I'm saying it's a birthday thing. Yeah.
Why Bob Barker?
I know. He seems like an odd target.
You're trying to think of an old, colorful guy who's been around, has a penis that couldn't be held since 36. That's
yeah, but he, as far as old guys go, he's about as charismatic as it gets. You think that Bob Barker couldn't have his choice of ladies? He could get laid anytime he wants with that slim ass microphone and
just he has lots of puppies. Himself. He's got access to dogs.
They're chick magnets.
Worst ever. Fix a joke. What? Give me a better press. I immediately thought of, what's his name? King, Larry King. But he's been married like 30 times. So he gets at least at least his penis is held on honeymoon nights. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry to be a buzzkill.
Okay, that's why we're here. How's the backdrop look? I got a new thing.
Great, man. You're becoming a real champ.
I got a new light. I got a thing. I'm very fast. I'm too fast for digital. All right. Oh,
what effect is that?
It's the effect that got me drafted in the 7th round of the all right, let's discuss the draft. It was give you some quick numbers here. Ratings up 35% over last year's draft, 55 million viewers over the 3-day period. The NFL draft routinely beats the NBA playoffs in ratings, especially this year. The draft-a-thon raised over $100 million for COVID relief. So a pretty big win for the NFL. I'm surprised that they just went barreling through and it seemed to come off. I mean, there were some technical glitches here and there, but I thought Trey Wingo was great. And I, as a nerd NFL fan, I was thrilled to just watch some highlight packages and talk about football for a while. What'd you guys think?
Loved it.
Well, usually I think the draft is too elaborate, you know? It's like too much pageantry. And this was the one year that I was like, sure, pageantry, make it longer. I have nowhere else to go. It could have been way more blown out this year almost. This is how it should be every year when there's other competition.
Right. I was intrigued by the, I didn't expect to like this part, but I liked seeing the GMs and the coaches with their kids and in their houses and the kids being drafted in their weird, whatever place they're in, they're, mm-hmm. they find the nicest house in the neighborhood. I don't know.
Jerry and his house, yacht. Or
whatever they're doing. I kind of liked it. There's so much variation from place to place, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Someone should do an analysis of the coaches' homes just from like an interior decorator perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd actually like to see you do that, Brian. I think that would be really fun. Like, did you see Cliff Clifterson? Is that his name? I forget his last name.
Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah.
His
yeah. There's already people. Yeah. There's already people building Lego.
Yeah.
That's great.
It looked just like it.
I loved it. And the other one, actually, the notable one was your guy, Mike Zimmer, with all the animal heads on the wall. And it was very.
Yeah, that's Mike Zimmer.
I know.
There's plenty of room for animal heads because there's no championship trophies to get in the way.
You better not make fun of my home, because my home is very nice.
I enjoyed that very much. what's the background we're looking at for you there, Eddie? What room are you in?
I'm in my man cave, my computer room.
That's cool.
And so
what
you
a
see
man
it,
cave. I'm jealous.
It's sort of like Gene Hackman's office in The Conversation.
it's the total me room, you know.
That's
so
great.
All of my bib numbers from all the races I've been in, and a Peanuts thing, and a Bengals shit, red stuff, you know.
What kind of races are you in?
I've done 11 full marathons.
Wow.
And just countless other ones.
Oh, my goodness.
Half, so.
It's all running, though?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to, like, let me find out you're a race car driver or something. That's what I was waiting for.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't think they wear bibs in that.
Here's a dumb guy question, Eddie. How do you train for a marathon? How do you go from I can run a couple of miles today to I can run 26 in a day? That seems like a insurmountable thing to be able to do.
Yeah, well, if you look at it like that, then it is surmountable. You just have to gradually build your mileage up, you know. You just increase like a 10% each time, and before you know it, you're up 16, 17 miles, and then the confidence kicks in and you start to think, well, if I can make 17, I can certainly make 26.2. And then, you know, the desire has to be there too.
Wow. So, I could use you in my head when I'm doubting myself.
Well, and there's crazy people who do ultra marathons, which is two marathons in a row, immediately consecutive.
Yeah,
what are you trying to prove at that point? Come on.
Well, you got to get back to marathon after you report the news in Athens. You know, you got to get home.
Do you think marathon runners sneer when they see the guys with the like 52.8 stickers? Like, oh, what an asshole, the way that everybody else does when they see marathon guys.
You know, I respect anybody who's out there trying. Anybody who's out there putting one foot in front of the other one and trying to run and you know, work, that's good.
I agree.
I do it for my head as much as for the hill.
Mm-hmm. So. I did 5 miles today.
Oh, cool.
You did?
Yeah.
It feels good, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wrestled a one-year-old who needed a nap. Does that count for anything?
No.
I helped orchestrate a game day with my family. That was my big.
Hey, that was fun.
That was fun. We did a fibbage. You guys ever played fibbage? That seems like the kind of thing you would do, Brian.
No, I don't know.
Oh, fibbage is great. How do you describe fibbage, Andreas?
It's on your laptop, so it's software, and it's basically all in one game where the laptop runs the game, and then you use your wireless device to log in and then help write questions or answers to the game. And it's funny, and it's actually perfect for all ages. Like we played a couple games because Steike's family won the first game and my son won the second game. So it's not like Trivial Pursuit where you're going to get trounced if you're, you know, 12 years old.
It's a little Mad Libsy where you fill in the blank and then there's a real answer and you all have fake answers. You get points for getting people to guess yours and you get points for guessing the right one. It's the same people that do You Don't Know Jack.
You don't know? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's actually the same announcer.
Didn't I play that at your house the one time?
Did you host that?
It's great.
It's like the bald guy. Anyway.
who's the bald guy? Me?
Jack.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm about to be.
You don't know Jack?
I can't stand my hair anymore. It's driving me crazy.
So is everybody happy with the draft picks that they got, that the team got?
That's a good point. Let's go by teams. We got representatives of four different teams here, right?
I got the Giants, and so they took a Georgia boy, big offensive lineman in the first round. So I guess I got to be happy about that. He's good. Tell me about
him being good.
Oh yeah. Yep, the guys you don't know their names. That's who you want, right? The big,
that's right.
The big uglies. Yeah, he rated really high, so that was kind of a no-brainer.
And actually, you got Mr. Irrelevant, also a Georgia player.
That's right.
Yep, Mr. Trey, Irrelevant.
Yep. Tay Crowder, Mr. Irrelevant's the nickname for the last guy drafted.
Trey Crowder, isn't that the redneck guy?
Tay.
Yeah.
Yes. Slightly different redneck name.
Now I guess it's good because I was thinking Gettleman, who was wearing a mask in his own home, that was interesting.
They won, and then he got so much shit about it he took it off.
Yeah, he was wearing a mask in his own home, but I saw he was getting a little crap about maybe reaching for this guy, and it gave me some thoughts about, you know, sometimes I approach like fantasy football where I just want to screw up the other people's picks that I think they want. Like, for instance, I'll take Julio Jones instead of, you know, Antonio Brown or something like that in a fantasy draft, and hoping that that'll be the pick that puts me over the edge. And I think maybe that's what Gettleman was doing. I hope not. I hope that this guy is actually really, really good and worth that pick, but we'll see.
That's cool. Go ahead.
No, the experts seem to like that pick, and you want me to go Falcons, bro?
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you the Sports Illustrated grades on the drafts. Giants B, Falcons B plus.
All right.
Vikings A minus. Patriots C plus. Just for fun.
Yes.
I broadly, the Bengals have been widely praised for their draft. So I didn't write scribble down the grade, but I think they got an A as well. Go ahead, Andreas. Walk us through the Falcons. I was praying for defense for pretty much every pick, and that's what we got, really.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, with Thomas Dimitroff, the rumors are he's always moved up or often moved up. So the local media here got everybody in a frenzy of moving up. I mean, all the way to like Chase Young moving up, which would have been a terrible idea because you wouldn't have had any picks left and probably given away a pick for next year. So when they didn't move up, all the guys that we wanted, defensive tackle, Javon Kinlaw, Shanahan pulled him two picks right before us, Derek Brown went. So there wasn't really much left in taking the corner that we got, the Clemson kid. So J.J. Terrell, A.J. Terrell, J.J. Terrell. And then with our second pick, we got a big guy to go next to Grady on the inside. And he's like Derek Brown. He's an Auburn kid, can line up two different spots on the inside. Yeah, big guy. So Marlon. So he'll be good. And then we kept going, you know, corners and safeties. And then inevitably, you know, you get the fourth or fifth round guy you never heard of, an inside linebacker. And then the very last pick we had in the seventh round, we took a punter.
What's more fun than watching punter highlight packages?
I'm actually surprised that punters aren't better in the NFL. It doesn't seem very hard to punt it out of bounds. Like kickers, I get it. You're not allowed to kick it out of bounds on a kickoff, but like you have the whole field to aim and you can kick it out of bounds. Why can't you kick it out of bounds again?
Scholarship athlete here. It's a good point. He's a soccer player. I don't know. I thought the same thing. We got to get Pat McAfee on the phone and figure out why this is so hard.
Well, I think it's a question of trying to maximize the yardage that you get before it goes out of bounds.
But if you get no return, it's worth giving up a few yards, right? There's no penalty to kick it out of bounds.
I've never understood why they don't kick it out every time.
Right. I don't either. I have no clue. I can Madden, you just point that way and you kick it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's easy.
Well, that's a shank if you're trying to kick it out of bounds and it goes right down the middle of the field. That's just a shank. That's all that happens.
Yeah.
And you got to bounce it back for a touchdown.
That's got to be the answer, right? The variance is pretty wide on a kick. And so if you're off by a little bit, I mean, it could be like a 15-yard kick and then
Right, the error gets propagated.
You mentioned Javon Kinlaw, Andreas. They said in the broadcast that he was not academically qualified for South Carolina. And I was like, oof. How does he work the door to get out of his own house? How could that possibly be true? He had to go to junior college for a year to transfer. What is the minimum amount of grades you have to play football for South Carolina?
You remember Last Chance U, right?
That's right. Don't qualify? That's a good question. We don't hear about those kids, I guess, very often. Is there a big pile of kids that can't get into SEC programs? I mean, what do you need? A 1.4? What's the barrier?
I think that's how you get into the XFL.
I remember one time, because I played soccer in college for the 1 year that I went at Ramapo. And this is one of my favorite stories. The coach is such a character. His name was Pepe Pintome. And he was the coach of the New York Cosmos when Pele was there.
Oh, yeah.
He's a real character. And he was angry with some of the players. They weren't going to class or whatever. So we were like all stretching. And he was like, what are you doing? He goes, anybody could get good grades at Ramapo College. I could take a donkey, wrap a rope around his neck, have him stick his head in class, and he get a D.
That's a pretty good pep talk. That's a good point. But Javon Kinlaw cannot.
He can't get in. Apparently. I guess, it's harder than Ramapo College, I guess.
Did you see Dion, by the way? Dion's got a big old gray beard now, and he's sitting in a big felt chair. past his prime time. That's his new nickname.
I imagine that ABC and ESPN were going to have the exact same thing since they're both owned by the same company. And I watched ABC the first night and then compared notes with my friend. And he was like, oh, ABC was all the college. Kirk Herbstreit, David Pollack, it was all the college guys. And ESPN was the Mel Kiper crew. So it was literally like completely different crews. So the second day I switched over to watch ESPN and saw the normal, usual NFL suspects. Kind of interesting.
I prefer the Kuiper Wingo kind of crowd, right?
Yeah, it was better. The college guys give you better, they've got the sadder stories, you know, the story of the sister that got killed in a car crash.
Goodness, there were so
many. Yeah, and I was so heavy on that.
It reminded me of the Olympics this year. There were so many and then his dad died, fell into the street. Slipped in some gravel.
During half those stories, they, they're at their own house and somebody hands them their baby. And I'm like, wait, I couldn't believe how many of these players already had babies.
Right. That's the other end of the spectrum from, I don't know, say me.
What was up with the music this time? Was it, they do that every year? The musical interludes?
I don't think so. I think that was new, right?
Yeah, we could do without that. Some guys there playing three chords on the guitar.
I actually kind of like some of the human interest stories. Like they seemed to find, it was almost like they gave someone the job to find weird fact about every dude. they just had some funny nicknames and there were like a handful of like really unusual quirky anecdotes about the guys, which I like that stuff. Give us some color.
There was some always skeptical nicknames. Though, because like, do you think they last comic standing it? We're like, on last comic standing, they would just like assign you a personality trait that you don't do. Like, I have a friend who did very well on that show, and he's very wealthy because he does very well, wealthy enough because he does very well at college gigs. And like, pretend to be a dog walker. And so they just like filmed him walking some dogs and wrote this backstory about he's a hardworking dog walker. It's like, you don't have a dog.
So they want so badly to build a story. It's crazy. There's one kid named.
You think they're handing random babies to people just for human interest stories? Just keep handing him more babies. Like, how many babies does this guy have?
There was one guy that had that was a bone marrow donor.
Yeah, for his sister.
And they actually theorized that that's why he had a bit of a slow start to the next season, which I'd never. It didn't occur to me that it would affect you in that way, but they suggested that maybe it did. There was a dude named Baby Barack because he's got all these political aspirations.
Yeah.
I was like, Baby Barack sounds like a nightmare for Donald Trump, like a Chucky style, like, Baby Barack. I liked it. I thought it was well done. I think Wingo's great. I mean, they clearly had some technical things here and there, but for the most part, I mean, Mel Kiper, I wish I was as remotely as good at anything as Mel Kiper is at talking about the draft and the enthusiasm and the knowledge and he gets so much information into these tiny little windows. It's an impressive skill set for sure. All right, you want to go around? I'm surprised I never saw Tom Brady like accidentally stumble into one of the players' homes, you know? What a great story that is. First he gets kicked out of a park and then he goes into the wrong house. What are you, 92 years old? What are you doing?
I've done that before, by the way.
You've done that?
My dad has moved a zillion times, and we went to one of his new houses, and he pulled in front of the house, and he's like, hey, I got to get some stuff out of the car. Go on in. And I walked in, and I sat down, and I was like, hey, got a lot of new stuff, you know? And then I was like, my dad doesn't have a computer? And then I heard this woman start screaming, and I ran out of the house.
Nice.
So I'm like Tom Brady.
Yeah, just like Tom Brady.
Don't mind me, ma'am. I'm just trying to get a human interest story for the NFL draft.
I wanted your baby and ran off.
Well, you know, Tom Brady is one of the best. You know, when it comes to anything, including neighbors' doors, if you're open, he's going to find you.
I thought he had carte blanche down there. It's called Tampa Bay, isn't it?
It's Tampa Bay, yes.
Yeah, he can just do whatever he wants.
If you want to keep Tom Brady away from your house, you hang carbs in the doorway. The vampire thing.
Red peppers. Run away. All right. I want to get your take on a couple of other things quickly. Jameis to the Saints was a headline today.
So weird.
That doesn't make any sense. They already have too many quarterbacks.
It's so weird. I don't even, because they're paying Taysom Hill. They just re-signed him to like a 2-year.
They're overpaying Taysom Hill. They're paying him like $10 million a year.
Right.
It's crazy. And he doesn't even throw the ball. He's not. Taysom Hill makes me mad. We don't have to cover that again, Aaron.
Jameis is going to get traded. He'll get traded.
So they just sign him in order to park him and then trade him to somebody when there's an injury? Is that it's like a strategic thing? They're not going to use him? Or they want him to be the quarterback next year when – Breeze is a broadcaster? Like, what?
They're flipping them. It's like real estate.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
If one or the other is going to get traded.
Or Cam, I feel like I would just wait. Wait for the Patriots or an injury. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not going to be your second stringer. Get out of here.
Were you surprised the Patriots didn't use one of their picks on a quarterback at all?
Yes, that seems crazy to me.
And then Green Bay used their first pick. They traded up with their first pick to pick a quarterback. I was texting on my friends like, what am I missing here? They need receivers in the deepest receiver class in the history of the NFL draft. And they didn't take a receiver.
Right.
It makes no sense at all.
I totally see why Aaron would be pissed. Somebody tweeted, Aaron's going to treat Jordan Love like family.
That's a funny one. That's great.
I wish I wrote that one. And actually, it's not Jordan's fault. If you're mad at anybody, it's the team, you know? They did something to help the team long run, not the team now, which it's got to be off-putting to a Hall of Fame quarterback who's trying to win one now.
Well, and the coach, right? That means it wasn't the coach's decision because every coach in the NFL is trying to win now or else they lose their job. So to pick a guy that's going to matter 3-4 years from now doesn't help you today, tomorrow.
Right.
And even the Eagles pick, like Doug Peterson looked giddy after taking Jalen Hurts, and he was a second-round pick. Are they saying they're going to put him in packages with Carson Wentz or they're not sure? Like, Why are you picking him in the second round? Is that a Taysom Hill type thing they're trying to do?
I think you just, you know that you have a great quarterback when he's on the field, and he's not on the field a lot. So why not spend a little extra capital to make sure you've got a good backup is what it seems like to me. Because it's not like he doesn't have the Aaron Rodgers thing where he's old-ish. He's just getting started. It seems weird to have a quarterback, you know, spend a lot of capital on a quarterback there.
Right.
But, you know, it worked with Foles. Foles was one of the best backups in the league, and they knew that at the time. And
you don't think he's one of the best
quarterback backups? Rankings?
Nah, he had a lucky run. He's not that good. He's way overrated.
He was a Pro Bowler like 5 years ago. He's had a couple of lucky runs. You know, he's a little cutlery. He's got very high ceiling and a low floor, right?
What number is he, Aaron?
Oh, I forget where I ranked them.
Got your rankings?
It's not high. It's not high. It's definitely in the late 20s to
mid-30s. You got him below RG3, that's for sure. No one put RG3 higher in a quarterback ranking.
You know what, sir? You know, with all due respect, sir, sir, with all due respect, just wait till Lamar Jackson gets injured and RG3 becomes the new Nick Foles. How about that?
All right.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, cat in the man cave. What's happening?
Oh, we got kitties.
There's cat people all over the screen right now.
This is Alan. Hi, Alan. Say hi.
All three of you, dude. Our three.
Hold on. I'll go get my guy.
Hey, we didn't ask Brian how he liked. I thought Minnesota did really well.
You know, I don't know as much about it. It was nice to get a receiver, and then they traded that pick out. They dropped 6 picks. The Niners got – did you think – was that a smart move for the Niners to trade up for that – for their receiver, you think?
Yeah, I don't – that guy they picked, I know nothing about him because he's from the small school. Mm-hmm. And then – because I've got a buddy who's a Vikings fan because you guys got Justin Jefferson right afterwards.
Yep, Justin Jefferson, yep.
Yeah, who played – I mean, anytime you're getting a kid from an SEC school – you never know, but you have to feel a little more comfortable than somebody who played it. Where was the other kid? Temple or somewhere? TCU? The guy, he went the pick right ahead of yours. But it was a small school. Same thing. I can't say anything. We were, you know, Roddy White came from University of Alabama at Birmingham. So there's some weird ones once in a while that work out really well. Did you see the number of SEC kids that got picked this year? It was crazy.
It was crazy. It was a record for the first round, and then I think it was a record for all the rounds too.
Yeah, LSU had 14 players picked.
How is that possible that you have 14 NFL-ready players in 1 year? That's crazy.
These 4 colleges had 7 players picked. Tell me which school doesn't fit. Clemson, Georgia, Florida, or Utah? That's kind of surprising, right?
That's a fun.
They're very healthy in Utah.
That's surprising. Utah had a good year. They had a good year.
I went to Utah. Everybody looks like they've never been touched. Everybody's like still in the box. Nobody's had a drink. Nobody's gotten laid. Everybody looks hermetically sealed. They're so healthy. Makes sense to me. They're basically 12-year-olds.
Still in the box. It's a funny phrase. Well,
I actually heard them talking about, I forget who it was on day 3, that his draft stock went back up after the new CBA because he was like a notorious pot smoker that couldn't stay out of trouble. But he was like physically gifted. And they actually said this was the perfect year to get drafted because they're not concerned about that as much.
That's interesting.
Why are they not concerned this about? Because they finally, it's not.
They said you can smoke now, right?
Right. So you're saying my draft stock is up?
But they're worried about suspensions not being irresponsible and flaky or whatever.
Right, yeah.
That makes sense. All right. But it's good they finally did something with that rule. But it's still against the rules. It's just sort of de-emphasized? What did they do exactly? Do you know?
I think they said that they're not going to test for it anymore. I think.
It's like your parents' house after you move to college.
Something that's almost useless. Yeah. It's about time. I mean, it's ridiculous that it would be. Anyway. All right. Anything else team-wise? You guys, what else do we need Falcon-wise, Andreas? What do you think is left to do?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a ton of picks. We had a we gave away our second round to get Hayden Hurst, but we had the extra second round when we traded Sanu to the Patriots.
Right.
So the last couple of rounds, we had 2 fourths this year and no fifth. So I thought it would overall, again, the fans here on day one were not happy. And then after the draft was said and done, it looked like the fans were a little more content. Is every fan base miserable on the Facebook fan page? Is that just the way it is with every city?
That's a good
news here.
I do feel like negative comments are more likely to be shared in the social media environment. Like if you, if you're upset about something, you're more likely to get involved, right?
Yeah. I think for the Giants specifically too, the fan base has been crying about the offensive line for years. It's always the offensive line. It's always the offensive line. And then they draft an offensive lineman and they're like, well, maybe we should have, did this guy or that guy. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to sit in the dark and complain about your team.
Did you see the Patriots draft though, the kicker?
I saw him he swung, like he didn't take any step. I'll try to demonstrate it for you, but he just stood here like this and just swung his hip and kicked it 50 yards without stepping.
Well, did you also see he's a militia member?
Oh, is that what that is?
He's an insane person. He has all these anti-government tattoos that are from the 3%ers, which is a radical group that believes in taking down the government. And let's say that the Venn diagram of them and people who don't like people who aren't white looks kind of like that. Okay, specific parts of the government these people want to take down.
Okay. Well, I guess it's right that he's on the Patriots then, I guess.
Well, initially he said, they asked him about him. He said, well, they're just random tattoos. I'm like, what kind of an asshole tattoo artist is somebody? He's like, just give me something. You're like, all right, here's a Klan tattoo or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think the teams have a right to know what tattoos you have?
I mean, it's not like it's on his upper thigh or anything. I mean, they're right on his arm. It's like blood and liberty and all. It's all this, you know. It looks like what Sean Hannity thinks his arms look like. But that's weird, right? There's just going to be this right-wing militia man who's just like kicking some balls or whatever. And you know how you know he's creepy? I went to his Twitter. Nothing about politics.
Really?
He's so political. He has it tattooed on his arms. But his Twitter, he doesn't say anything about it. That means it's so bad you can't put it on Twitter.
Well, he might have cleaned it up.
But yeah, he probably cleaned it up. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right. But I was going to say, he's backed away from that a little bit. But you have to.
Just opt out of the 3%er militia that easily? I don't know.
Blood in, blood out, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's weird.
That is weird, yeah. Is that something that are they vetting guys for stuff like that? They must, right? I mean, the picture I saw, I mean, it was right on his arm, and
it's huge. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you think they wouldn't draft a guy with a Klan tattoo on his arm, right? You think that would be clearly, they'd be like, oh, that's bad PR. So like, this isn't quite that. I mean, it's not that, but it is kind of strange.
Yes. Right.
CTE. That's it.
Say CTE. CTE.
Yeah.
Early.
Already.
Yeah. Rush. My dad used to say, beat the rush, flunk out early. Sociology professor comedy. All right, what else draft-wise? Then all the guys that aren't picked go into a pile, and then there's phone calls and people moving around, and Rodrigo gets signed, and Randy Moss's kid gets signed, and everyone who didn't get drafted. So these guys they've got these ongoing gigantic lists, and they're studying players full-time all year long. So they know who's out there, and then they're making deals with them as soon as the draft is over to try to get some guys in that they like and put them on practice squads and see what they but they can't, there's no, I just read this article today, 20 more teams starting virtual offseason programs Monday. Like, what does that mean? Are they doing leading jumping jacks on the computer? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, that must be it, right? It's virtual training.
I think I got a shot at the NFL this year. If we do some virtual training.
I think Eddie Barry's more likely to get in the NFL. He's running marathons.
That's true. He can at least return.
I actually tried to play high school football. I lasted about a week.
What position were you playing?
I was a receiver.
Okay. Did you get laid out or something? What happened?
Yes, I did. That was enough. That was pretty skinny.
You know what? I'm just going to run.
Hey, Andreas, you never tried out. Did you ever try out to be the kicker of the high school team?
No, I never did. We had a kid who was 2 years older than me that played soccer, and he was our kicker. And that offense we ran literally never kicked the ball. It was didn't matter what down it was. You didn't ever kick the ball. So I never
tried. Perfect job.
Would you be competitive? Would you have a shot at becoming the kicker of the Sprayberry High School Yellow Jackets?
You know, Greg Lee went out for the team. So, and he made the team and they never kicked, but he was on there. So I don't know. I mean, we used to mess around kicking the footballs and you kick them pretty far, but there's a lot more to it than just having a strong leg, of course, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
you're talking about the virtual stuff. So is the hypothesis that the teams that have the most fluid teams that haven't had free agencies, drafts, all these different things that change it, are they going to be ready to roll quicker in the NFL when the season gets geared up because they're not doing their OTAs? Is that how it's going to work?
I think so. I think especially if you have a quarterback who's like a real veteran who's been around, he doesn't need as much sort of ramp up to get ready for something. And I think guys like Tua are going to be way behind the curve, you know, any newcomer of any kind, anybody switching teams, any rookies. Right. I mean, how do you, if you can't do most of the things that you get to do in the off season.
Right. Right.
I hope they have a season. I got so excited watching the draft. I'd be really disappointed if we can't get there for whatever reason, you know.
I think there'll be a season. I don't know about the fans, but I think there'll be a season.
Yep. We are in agreement on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much money involved in it. And between the gambling and the fact that it's professional means something crazy happens. Not every lawyer is lined up to sue because you've already signed your life away. Like, college football is a different thing, right? Like, if the fans come to the first college football game and a kid gets sick and dies, then you're opening yourself up for a lot of liability stuff. But in the pro stuff, I mean, you're already killing yourself slowly.
Well, college is so much more dependent on the live experience as a moneymaker and as an activity. Whereas, I mean, if you think about it, the ratio of pro TV to live is way skewed. I mean, if I don't go to pro games most times in a year. So if they played them all on TV and I couldn't go to the stadium, it really wouldn't change my experience of a season that much.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To imagine a no football season, to have no fantasy and no DraftKings and no none of that, it's kind of hard to, we should get a bunch of famous people to have like a whole season arc of Madden where their teams play each other and we can all gamble on that. That'd be fun if we
LaCroix, you broke up for a second. What about the impact of the players that were drafted for fantasy, like all these teams, like, you know, the Colts took Jonathan Taylor. So Marlon Mack becomes just another running back now. He's a running back by committee.
Yeah, that's right. We got to sink our teeth into all that stuff and figure out what happened. But, yeah, and I think that's true with – there's several of these big shot rookie wide receivers that are come in and take a big portion of targets away from the established studs, right?
Yeah, I think receiving still takes a little bit of time to get up to speed because you're still learning, like, maybe running backs too. But, like, you know, DeAndre Swift, the Lions took him. He's incredible. Like, granted, we're biased, Georgia.
No dogs. Right?
But, like, you know, you had Kerryon Johnson in a keeper league, and that changes what you're thinking about doing with him in a keeper league.
Yeah, and the Rams got a running back, and that changes, you know.
That's like Cam Akers. He's the Florida State kid. He's phenomenal too.
That's definitely the biggest impact is running back, the, you know, first 1, 2, 3 round running backs that go to teams. They change the dynamic immediately for fantasy, right?
It's this year's draft, the first running back went the very last pick to the Kansas City Chiefs, number 32.
Right.
They were, I was watching the 2005 draft 3 days ago, and Auburn's two running backs went in the top three. It's right. Like the devaluing of running backs. It's, you have to, I mean, for the poor running backs, like nobody cares about him anymore. They just get lobbed in the second, third, fourth round, even like the stars.
Well, I mean, if I'm a GM, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I'd rather take a swing at finding an Alvin Kamara than pay Todd Gurley a giant amount of money. And then he's got a knee problem and then you're stuck, you know? So yeah. I get it. I totally see why they steer away from running backs. I think I would. That would be one of the things I would do. I would spend money on edge rushers and defensive backs and get a killer quarterback and then fill in the spots wherever else you can. I don't know. All right, gents, anything else we need to cover? What else did I want to talk about? Oh, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to be a thing? We got Gronk added. We got Brady, we've got a ridiculous number of weapons. They had a good draft. Are they really a thing that we need to worry about?
Yeah. There's three games.
Three games?
Three games or four.
That's it?
Yeah. Wow. What do you think? He's got to be out of shape.
I just think they'll use him really selectively. I just think he'll play 10 downs a game.
Okay, well, they can stretch him out doing that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that.
You just put him on, he's a goal line receiver, basically, you know. You just put him in the last few yards, a couple of trick plays.
He's not really old yet. He's just had back issues, and he's been gone for a year, right?
Remember how he looked running last year? He looked terrible.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think partying has healed his body?
It's vodka shots and porn stars have helped straighten him out. He's probably back.
Why would he want to go back to playing football after that? I can't imagine. You're golden. Stay where you are.
It's a good point. It does sound hard to be good at football. It's a lot of work, man.
Make straight to Redbox action movies like Howie Long did when he retired, you know? Like, what are you killing yourself for?
Yeah, because isn't he doing wrestling? He's got some belt in the the wrestling thing, whatever that is.
He won. Although I guess he can't do a Gronk cruise for a while. You know, you gotta take a hit that way. You gotta go.
He was having people tested way before COVID.
you wanna hear some Facebook stuff here before we?
Absolutely.
All right. Scott Greer wants to know thoughts on Fromm to the Bills.
Oh yeah, that's
good.
I'm surprised he fell as far as he did, but I guess I'm a fan. I think he's been playing in big competition, big bright lights, and been good for years. So I think that's worth a lot. But I guess I understand that he doesn't have the huge arm. He didn't flash as being spectacular enough. But I'm surprised he fell as far as he did. What do you think, Andres?
Yeah, so it was a weird thing because it was Eason who Fromm beat Eason out for the job.
Eason had the
Eason, yeah, but Eason's 6'5", looks the part, has a stronger arm. Fromm went later than everybody thought. And then when the Bills drafted him, I thought that's actually a perfect spot. Their backup is Matt Barkley, who's terrible. So you got a backup. If he ends up ever being better than a backup, they can do what the Patriots did, which they did with Garoppolo and what's the other, the Jacoby Brissett, right? And you deal him and get something for him. I'm guessing, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, I think it's a good match for him there. I think that's a good place for him to be. He's not going to be a starter right away and go to a team that's emerging. And, hey, they've got a quarterback that runs around a lot. You know, he's more likely to be injured than your average bear. So I'm rooting for Fromm. I think he's served Georgia well, and he's been fun to watch. So, but we'll see. He sort of projects as a lifetime backup, right? He'll be the 50th best quarterback in the NFL in a few years. Is that what we think?
Yeah, probably. And Eason ended up in a perfect spot because the Colts got him. So he sits behind Rivers, who has what, 1 year left, 2 years, whatever the number
half,
is. And
half a year.
Half, yeah. Yeah, I had this. I've got a buddy who's a big Colts fan. I had this debate with him, and I said he didn't like the Rivers pickup, and he said I would have taken Dalton, I would have taken Cam, I would have taken Jameis. Aaron? How would you rank all those?
Cam, Jameis, Rivers, Dalton.
Okay. Where's Dalton go this year?
I can't even argue with that as much as I would like to.
Dalton, where's he go? Where is he now? Is he a free agent?
No, he's still there.
Where he is, and let him play the first four games.
Oh, he's still in Cincinnati. So it'll be like, yeah, maybe he, I don't know. Maybe he gets beat out by Burrow. Maybe he does play a couple games, but he's not going to have as long a rope as Eli because he hasn't won any Super Bowls.
He's a perfect bridge. We'll leave him right where he is. But he might be worth enough on the market that they have to move him, right? If the Patriots come calling, some team like that, right?
Well, he could totally play in New England.
Yeah,
They're gonna play good defense and run the ball. They have so few weapons on offense.
Yeah, they just plug in a system quarterback and they're good to go.
He's better than Matt Castle, right? They won 11 games or something with Matt Castle.
Castle's tall.
I praise indeed.
We got any other Facebook questions over there, Aaron?
We had some input on the pot issue. Somebody said that you get a fine, but there's no suspension.
Oh, it's like living in Minneapolis.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm having trouble circulating through the rest of the comments right now, but
that's like paying for the HOV lane. That's nothing. That's an easy fix.
So basically, weed's just really expensive for NFL players.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right. That's a $10,000 joint. Yeah,
that's no problem. All right, gents. Well, thanks for coming and doing this. This is awesome. Let's do the plugs again. Nowhere Comedy Club. Full headline set. This kind of a format. Right in your living room, if you're in a town that I don't come to, or if you're in a hospital bed, or you just want to have a night of comedy without having to go out somewhere, which you can't.
I was going to say.
It's the perfect match. It's a nice way to support the comics who can't be working. There's a lot of great comics on this lineup. Greg Proops and Mike Kaplan and Chris Bowers. And it's they're getting some really nice names. Ida Rodriguez.
Santora.
Oh, go ahead. I don't know.
Mary Santora is on that lineup too. She's very funny.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So come check it out. That's nowherecomedyclub.com. My show is on the 7th. There's plenty of other shows on there all the time. Fantasy Throwback right here Wednesday nights. Join a Patreon. Come enjoy Quick Snaps, the podcast. And if you come and give us a little dough, we'll do a bunch of things, including invite you here to the panel here at Quick Snaps Roundtable. So big thanks to Eddie for being a part of the support there.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Eddie. We really do. And thanks to all of our supporters to keep the lights on. We got a brand new light here. I got a light. See in my glasses. I got a new ring light. Oh, it's very exciting. $19. Look, I'm all ready to go.
I'm really excited about the backdrop, man. You're really stepping up your game here.
It looks to me like it's a little much, but I'll watch it later and we'll discuss. Anything else we need to plug, Aaron? Anything else we need to cover while we're here?
Support the post office. Write some letters. Buy some stamps. And Fireside Craps the Deuce is going to win a Grammy, so go buy it.
Oh, yeah. Tell them the name of the kid that's going bananas right now.
JL Covan.
You've seen him. You've seen him out there. You see the 20-second clips, the 2-minute clips of him doing Trump. He's really funny. I watched a few the other day. The writing's pretty good too, man, and the voice is ridiculously dumb.
No writing, all freestyle off the dome.
It's well done stuff. So
yeah,
no, he's very funny. But I freaked him out one time.
You did?
We were having lunch, and then we got to talking about James Franco, and at some point I was like, oh, I would burn his house down. He has that time. He just looked at me, he's like, are you serious? I was like, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, do you want to go? I mean, I don't know, who's to say? Yeah, I can see how that could be a little bit alarming, but yeah, I don't know. He's a good dude.
Yeah, very funny. Very smart guy.
Yeah, he's doing well. So good for him. And he and I were two of your first albums ever, right? On You Lucky Dog. We were top, what, two or three?
One and two, yeah. One and two.
Okay. Yep. All right, even more. Thanks for watching, everybody. We appreciate your support. I hope you got what you needed from your fantasy, from your real life draft for your real life teams. And we'll talk to you about football as we go. Hopefully we'll have some more football news here soon, and we'll see what happens. And Aaron and I will also probably do some non-football stuff in the off season as well. So we'll get with you. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.
All right, I stopped the Facebook Live. We can wrap it up and chat briefly here as a team. Thank you guys for doing it. Thanks, Eddie, for jumping on last minute. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun. You guys are funny.
Thanks, Eddie.
Joining us late in the process.
When's Brian going to do an album?
I was supposed to record next month with Doug Benson at Acme, and I was going to, you know, Aaron and I were going to get it all set up, and then I don't know if it's going to happen. Just because the show's not
on the DLM?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It was end of June. So if they open the club up in some limited capacity, I'm going to use the opportunity to – they have a recording system in the club now. So you can just hit record and see if we get some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be a cool vibe for an album in a weird way if it's like a third capacity pandemic, everyone's wearing masks. I don't know. That could be something.
Yeah, I've been saying that. Like, it sucks right now that – nobody can do comedy, but there's going to be some all-time moments coming out of this, like when people are hungry for it to get back to it, and it's going to be interesting. There'll be some electric shows for sure, don't you think?
Yeah, but there's going to be some shitty shows for like 2 weeks while everybody knocks the rust off.
Yeah. There's going to be some like all-time classic moments that come out of this, from comedy to music to everything, man. Like,
yeah,
if people aren't fucking working on their art right now, when are they going to do it? So step up your shit. Let's go.
Wow.
I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying, not you.
No, I know. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I just think it's time to step up and fucking like be as good as you can be right now, because you don't have any excuses anymore.
I'm trying, but I'm holding a toddler.
I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking in general.
I don't have any days off from holding a toddler.
I'm sorry.
At least I could go to Indianapolis for 3 days and get a fucking break.
I know. This is a different lifestyle altogether, huh?
I love that kid, man. She's great. Just every day is a lot.
Yeah.
A cute kid.
No daycare. All right, gents. I'm going to go down and take care of that kid. Thank you all very much. And we'll do more of this stuff. We'll keep all your faces in the game here going down.
Yeah. Great to see everybody.
Yeah.
You too. Awesome. See you, fellas.
Cheers, gents.
Bye.
Bye.